Hi, everybody. Welcome to the UPHCA Pipeline Podcast. I'm your host, Eric Lichtenberg, and we have a great guest with us here today, Michael Westover of Business Resource. How you doing today, Michael?
I'm great. Thanks for asking. How are you guys?
Good, good. Thanks for coming on. Really appreciate your time. And we wanted to talk about some things that are coming up as well. I know that there's going to be a class you're going to be teaching at the UPHCA that's up and coming. And so we'll have some links down in the description below on that. And I wanted to kind of find out, what is Business Resource and what motivated you to go down this path?
Sure. So I started Business Resource in 2018. So we've been in operation for about 7 years. I used to be an educator, actually. I was a teacher for 5 years, and I was a school principal for about 15 years at the high school level, and then a bunch of charter schools. I actually started this business helping schools, and was hired by a bunch of these charter schools. And anyway, I realized really quickly that a lot of them were awesome in their own way. They had great programs or great mission statements, but they needed help in so many areas. So somewhere in the process of that, I remember thinking, I bet you small business owners need similar help, you know, because small businesses, let's be honest, I'm a small business too. We wear a million hats, right? We may have a great product or service, but there's so many other things we're required to do to make the business successful. And so I don't know when the seed was planted, but I remember in my education years starting to think about small businesses. Anyway, so fast forward 2018, started Business Resource. And frankly, we were helping small businesses with a lot of things, kind of like I just indicated. And it was too much. We were helping with marketing. We were helping with hiring. We were helping with everything you can think of. Anyway, so we quickly kind of honed in on the business acquisition, exiting and acquisition side of it, which the sales cycle on businesses is a lot longer, but the end result is better, in my opinion. And it's so much fun to help small businesses who are ready to exit, you know, hand that off to the next buyer. And frankly, those buyers are so excited too. It's our logo for Business Resource is a phoenix. So it's kind of like a rebirth of, you know, of the business in a sense. And frankly, for the owner selling, it's a rebirth for them starting a new life. So that's what a little bit about me, a little bit about Business Resource. Thanks for asking.
Awesome. So if I was a person who wanted to, say, get out of a business, say I'd built it up and I think now it's time for me to do something else in life or retire, whatever that might be, when do you think the best time to sell would be?
Yeah. So I always tell people to think of their business like a stock, right? So if you think about the stock market, right, the best time to buy is low, best time to sell is high. And so anytime someone starts a business, really, it's low, right? But what happens a lot of times is business owners will work their business for 5 years, 10 years, decades even, and they get a feeling in there, you know, they get that gut feeling that it's time to maybe start transitioning to someone else, but they don't do it because they don't know how to do it. And so they just keep plugging away, doing their best, and then another 10 years goes along. But by then, they've kind of tapered off because they're comfortable, they're happy, they don't need to work so much. But unfortunately, their business during that time has tapered off, has plateaued, or has even started to decline in value. I see this a lot with professional industries as well, like dentists and doctors. Well, they'll just suddenly say, oh, I'm going to start working 4 days a week, 3 days a week. I'm going to work 2 days part-time, you know? And so what would have been better is if they had reached out to me 10 years earlier, mm-hmm. when their business was still climbing, was still improving financially. And then we could have gotten a lot more for them in their business, and they could have been playing golf for 10 years, frankly. And so there's a misconception that, I mean, every business owner is different. Every business owner's goals are different. So if you want to keep working the business, there's nothing wrong with that. But if you're about, if you feel like it's getting close to tapering off or maybe declining in any sense, that's the best time to sell because prospective buyers, investors are going to look at it and they're saying, oh man, this business has just been climbing for the last decade. Maybe there's been a little bit of this, but man, the sky's the limit for this business, right? But the moment that plateau, then it's the ceiling set, right? So does that answer your question?
And when, so let's say I'm looking to sell or I'm looking to buy, for both parties, what are some red flags that you'd want to kind of watch out for if you were buying or selling?
So a big red flag is businesses that don't get a business valuation. And so if you're a buyer and you see a business that looks interesting to you, but you're like, this price, I don't, where did you come up with this price? I'm telling you right now, they're half more than half of the time, businesses are literally making up a price and just throwing it on the listing, and they're not even close. I could say maybe 1 out of 10, the price is even close. And so, and a lot of times business owners will actually undervalue. So on the seller side, sellers need to be careful because, believe it or not, I mean, there is the one third of business owners who overvalue their business. Oh, my business is worth 5 million for sure. It's not even close to that. So there are those. But I'm telling you, most business owners actually undervalue their business probably because they see all the problems with it, right? No business is perfect. Every business is a work in progress. And so maybe they devalue it a little bit themselves. But so for the seller and the buyer, there's a ton of value in finding out what the business is worth from the get-go. Because on the buyer side, you can end up saving a ton of money. I've had a lot of prospective buyers thank me for not letting them go into debt for 10 years, frankly. And I've, on the seller side, if you price that business properly, it will actually sell. Otherwise, it'll just sit on the market. We'll get people interested in it, but then people just ghost you. It's just like, oh, I can't make that work financially. And so it's just like churn, it's just like a never-ending sale. And so the price point is key. You were asking about red flags. I would say on the seller side, also be very careful. A lot of people, I don't want to say preying on business owners, but it's kind of like that because they know, like I was saying earlier, they know that they might be great at providing their service or the product. In the service industry, it's obviously a service, right? But they know that they often don't know anything about selling a business or valuing a business. And so they'll reach out on LinkedIn, or email or Facebook even or something like that and just say, hey, I'm interested in buying your business. And because the business owner is like, oh, I should have sold this 5 years ago, they'll start talking to them. So sometimes I come in the middle of these conversations. But I'm telling you right now, if you don't have someone in your corner who knows what they're doing and can protect you, these business owners literally are basically giving away their businesses of 30, 40, 50 years sometimes to people who promise to pay them. Oh, it's going to be great. You don't have to do anything. I'll manage it for you and pay you, but you're not reading the fine print and they spend extra money on marketing. Oh, sorry, there was no money left over for you. Or, oh, seller financing is great. It's going to be awesome. Not if you have $1 million in tangible assets. Never seller finance for more than you have in value in your equipment at very least. We always discourage seller financing as much as possible. Unfortunately, Eric, there are a lot of people. So there's like these YouTube videos going around, Instagram, TikTok even. These influencers are telling people how to buy businesses for free. And that really worries me. And so the intention of this class or this training is really to help business owners understand what the process is involved, what the timeline is, how much it costs, some of the basics surrounding an exit, so that they're not taken advantage of by these people. And sometimes people are know exactly what they're doing. Sometimes it's a little more innocent. But regardless, if you have spent years, decades of your blood, sweat, and tears and money building a business, do not just hand it off to someone because they promise to be awesome. You know, go through the right process, do it right, get paid for it. And that brings me to one other quick thing. Sometimes they'll almost encourage business owners to just shut their doors. Like, do not. I've helped people sell businesses that are in the red, that are losing money. In fact, I just did that just this month in January, this last month. Some businesses are frankly breaking even or losing money. If that's the case and you've been established, trust me, there's still value there. Someone will still pay you for your business. It's just not going to be as much money. It's because it's going to be less value because it's not cash flow. But never let a friend or a colleague just shut their doors. Is that fair to say?
And one of the things that's kind of curious too is if is part of that evaluation process taken into account when say for example there's a person who owns a machine shop and they have a couple of employees, but the person is a very skilled machinist, very skilled, and they have a good client base, steady income, but it's time for them to move on. With that valuable knowledge leaving, does the company still, is that part of the valuation process of the company?
Great question. So by all buyers are different. So some buyers don't care because they may already be a welding company that has plenty of employees. They just want maybe the name and the client base, you know, the customer base, the book of business. But a lot of people will, yes, they'll look at that and say, oh, the owner's leaving and he hasn't been training anyone. Oh, I don't have time to do that. I'm super interested in this, but I can't do it. So businesses that are what we call absentee owner or passive are typically worth a lot more than owner-operator businesses. So one of the things we do at Business Resources, we call it coach consulting. It's kind of a hybrid between coaching and consulting. And when you're trying to sell a business last minute and you just call me up and say, oh, you know, look, we gotta leave town, we gotta head out of state, or my wife's got cancer. There are reasons why sometimes you just have to sell a business last minute. We can help any client, but the best thing to do is when the business owner starts feeling like maybe the time's coming, at least a couple years in advance, start preparing, because there are a lot of ways to build value in that business and to prepare so that the business owner can exit for maximum value and not just give it away for whatever they can get out of it in the 2 months, you know, that they have available. Does that make sense? So back to your question, one of those things is, hey, I know you love w welding, but let's work on bringing in, let's bring in a partner, a minority owner partner, or just hire someone who's awesome at this, pay them well, train them so that you can step away at any time. And still own your business, run your business. Sometimes after business owners do that, suddenly they're like, oh, I can do this for another 5 years. I don't need to sell right now because I've got everything in place and we're climbing, the business is improving, you know, those kind of things. So great question. Every buyer's different though. They're all looking for different things, but generally speaking, yes. If business owners can bring in people so that the business is not 100% dependent on them, that's a good thing.
And we've kind of touched on a couple of the key things that need to happen and when some of the timing would be right. But what would be the process to sell a business?
Yeah, and so on the timing, the timeline, one thing that most business owners don't realize is that it can take literally a year to sell a business. The national average is between 8 and 12 months, depending on the industry. And so, you know, you just don't know what you don't know. And so a lot of people call me up saying, hey, can you help me sell my business? And and they don't, we're not selling a bike on KSL here. Like, this is intricate stuff. This is tough stuff. And there's a lot, there's just a lot that goes on as part of it. And so people need to realize that this can take a minute. And now, have we sold businesses in a month or two? Yeah, we sold a lumber business in like 6 weeks. We sell little salons all the time in a couple months, but those are more outliers, right? Those are atypical. So I always want to establish that a business likely will take, over six. If we price it right, like with the valuation that I was talking about earlier, I tell people plan on about 6 months-ish. Pricing it right makes a huge difference and can actually shorten the time. But back to your question about process, we've already talked about the valuation, which is really the first step. I call it the discovery slash valuation because I have to get so much information, qualitative information, quantitative information, general information about the business, and then financials and data. And then the second step is the search. Now, we list it in multiple places, locally, nationwide. We do social media stuff. That gets it out there. A lot of brokers kind of leave it at that. We have a pretty hefty CRM, almost 10,000 buyers in our CRM, mostly Utah. And so we also are pretty proactive about getting out there and saying, hey, you were looking at this plumbing business before. We have another one on the market. Obviously, only one person, we may have 100 people interested, only one person buys it. So we like to be proactive. And frankly, no one's mad about it. Everyone's all, oh, thank you so much for thinking of me and remembering. And oh, I'm not in the market anymore. Or oh, I already bought a business. But some people are still interested. And so no one's ever mad. But we will put the nets out there and get leads, but we're also proactive. That's the second step, is qualifying the search and qualifying all these prospective buyers. The NDAs, we send out NDAs before we send them more information because we need to protect our client, right? That's the second step. The third step is what I call the negotiation slash paperwork phase. So just because we have the right buyer, everyone's getting really excited, I think this is gonna work. That doesn't mean it's done yet. And a lot of things can happen that screw up the deal. And so it's critical to have someone in your corner with the negotiations, even if you're a master negotiator, because you want it to basically be peaches and rainbows and unicorns between buyer and seller, right? And let's be honest, it's a business transaction. So sellers are trying to get the maximum out of it. Buyers are trying to get as little as possible out of it. And sometimes things can get tense. Sometimes there needs to be someone like me in between to say, time out, hold on, that's not happening. I've frankly had clients come to me after the sale. They'll meet up for dinner to celebrate, and then they'll call me all excited. Oh, great, I'm so happy for you. And okay, we're transferring the stuff and we're starting the training. And then they'll say, oh yeah, by the way, Mike, those buyers can't stand you. They can't stand you at all. And I'm like, oh, that's too bad. But guess what? It's not my job to make friends. It's my job to get you the most for your business. And someone needs to be in your corner to tell you to stop talking or to say this, or even just to talk for you. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
So
of course.
negotiations is critical, and then the paperwork obviously follows. Sorry, did you want to say something?
No. This is great information. If a person wanted to sell a business, how much would they expect that process to cost?
Yeah, good question. So there are several costs involved. That's a great question. So the valuation upfront is critical. And we've done valuations before. Sometimes people call me and say, oh, they get ahead of themselves. And I say, first, let's do the valuation. So you know where you're at. Because sometimes people get the results and they're like, oh, I thought it'd be worth more. I owe more than that. And then we'll say, that's okay. Let's do some consulting. Let's get you up where you need to be. I'm never going to be the person that pushes someone into selling if they're not ready, right? And then if they, but a lot of times I'll give people the numbers. We do kind of a bell curve of best case, worst case, likely sales price, that kind of thing. Lots of times they're thrilled. They're like, "Holy cow, are you sure? Are you serious?" And I'm like, "Yeah." And then there's, "Wow, I should have sold 2 years ago." I'm like, "Oh, sorry." But so I never know what, I don't want to know what people want to sell their business for. I just want to tell you what your business is worth. And sometimes they choose to move forward, sometimes they don't. If they do choose to move forward, then there's an additional cost. There's an onboarding fee because there's a lot of preparation that goes into preparing the documents, preparing what we call the CIM, the confidential information memorandum. And we list it, like I said, multiple sites, and that all costs money. So there is some additional cost. The good news is I charge like half of what other brokers do. Literally, you're, any business owner is going to be asked up front, hey, 5,000 to get this started. We charge $2,500. Again, it's not, we're not trying to gouge people, but there are expenses. And frankly, I don't want to go and I just met you. I don't want to go in the hole for you. You know, it's gonna, it could take us 6 months to sell this business, basically. And so we're basically going to be working for free for the next 6 months until it sells, and we all get paid. Back on the valuation, we do valuations between $1,000 for what we call a basic valuation to $15,000 for a full certified, you know, it's like a master's thesis, 100-page report. The good news, whether it's $1,000 or the $15,000 one, the information's the same. So the costs are broken down into four categories, basically. You've got the valuation, there's several options there. Then there's the onboarding. With us, it's 2,500. Most are going to try to get 5 grand at least. And then there's attorney fees. Now we have an attorney. We say he works in-house because he basically just works for us, but technically he has to work for the client. The good news with this guy is he works with us every day. He knows what we want. We know what he wants. He gives our clients literally half off. So he gives them a ridiculously good rate. Doesn't charge them extra for calls and all that garbage. Like he's awesome. Just a good attorney, a transactional attorney. But people can use, if they have someone on retainer, that, you know, we've worked with other attorneys, but we always recommend, hey, at least have a conversation with this guy. So there are attorney fees involved to get the paperwork right. But I know how to review this, these documents. Obviously, the attorneys do. You want as many people in your corner making sure that these documents are leaning in your favor. Don't, a quick tip is sometimes buyers will come in and say, "Oh, how about we just take care of all that paperwork for you?" And a lot of sellers will jump on that and be like, "Oh, that sounds perfect because I don't know any of that stuff and I don't want to pay for it." So that's the easy response. But the better response is, "No, I'm willing to spend 3 grand on this paperwork to make sure this stuff protects me fully." And it can screw up a deal if because we're not going to let you sign something that puts you in a bad position, and so sometimes feelings are hurt. So anyway, a tip on the paperwork. And then the fourth is the success fee. So obviously a broker wants to get paid. If we're working for 6 months, 8 months to help you sell a business, when you get paid, we get paid. And so our flat fee is at 10%. That used to be standard. Now it's creeping up. I've had multiple clients tell me, "Oh, these guys said 12%. These guys said 15%." Sometimes people will say, "Oh, we'll waive the onboarding fee. You don't have to pay the 5,000." But then they'll creep in and they'll say, "Oh, it's 17.5% or something." Trust me, it's better to pay 5,000 up front than an extra 5%. Or so sellers need to be careful that they're understanding the costs involved. And people familiar with real estate sometimes say, "Oh my gosh, 10%, that's crazy." We're not selling a house here. We're not putting a sign out in front of your house saying, "Oh, just knock on the door if you're interested. Come, you know, selling it as is." This is complicated stuff. It takes a lot of work, a lot of vetting. That's we do get paid, but we try not to take advantage of our clients. But in a general, hopefully that sets the table for the costs involved. Does that help?
Oh yeah. And Michael, it's been really, really great having you on here. I know we're going to go into a lot more detail on the class. It's going to be held February 19th at the UPHCA. And some of the topics that I would really be interested in hearing more about is what, if you're planning on selling, what can we do to improve the value so that they can get more for their business? And then also the concerns that we're having in this market with private equity firms kind of coming in and that sort of thing. So, for those of you out there listening, we really appreciate you joining us today. Be sure to check out the class at UPHCA on the 19th with Michael Westover from Business Resource. And Michael, thanks so much for coming on the show today. Really appreciate you.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me. Sorry if I data dumped too much on you, but hopefully it's helpful.
Good info, though. Good info. Well, thanks, Michael. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, great. Thanks.
The UPHC Pipeline Podcast. The UPHC Pipeline Podcast.